Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening. Welcome to Philly Sports Live. Steve Willis here with you tonight. And, well, quite a bit has happened as of late. There's a lot of changes that are going on right now. And, well, I don't know, with this NFL draft, if you felt like things were kind of anticlimactic, you know, I saw them get that trade to happen where the Eagles had moved up to have the second overall pick. And then you know, Wentz is considered to be the person that's for right away. You know, last time we had this pick, number two, and it was McNabb, you know, 99. There was kind of excitement going into it. I mean, they were bad all year. Not to say that they were good at all last year, but, you know, they were bad that entire year. And, you know, you knew that you had to make the big change at that point, and a quarterback was going to be the prescription, so to say. But I don't know that that was really what had to happen right now. Certainly, you know, a big contract was given to another quarterback to stay here, and then it was, you know, came out that Sam Bradford doesn't want to be here now because of the draft. I just kind of find this sort of thing would be a little bit foolish, is what I'm saying. I don't know why you spend the kind of money to have somebody be here. Granted, giving a guy a contract for $30 million is $30 million to do that, and then make the decision that you want to draft a quarterback. To me, it just, like I said, it was very anticlimactic. I wasn't expecting it when it did happen. When they did get the second pick, I think that level of excitement that normally is there just wasn't there. And it's kind of my theme here with this.
Well, Steve, I mean, I guess we had our spring break, but it's great to be back with you this evening, sir.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, it's May 4th here in Philadelphia, or was like we like to call February 15th. But anyway, Zach, I guess we'll start with Eagles talk. It's strange how these things unfold. I mean, you have the number two overall pick. Last year, there was a lot of talk and buzz if they had the number two overall pick, because you had Marcus Mariota, who was a player that there would be buzz around, an exciting, you know, very talented young man who came into the league this year and played pretty well. Carson Wentz, a number two overall pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I mean, Steve, you look at these drafts and such, and I mean, I know we've talked about this off the air before. I mean, it's really tough to judge a draft. I mean, right now it just is. I mean, these are things like, I mean, you look at these Eagles picks. I mean, not just Wentz, obviously all the other picks. I mean, you really have to talk to me in like 3 years, but nonetheless, we're not 3 years down the road. We're, about 6 days removed from, the Carson Wentz pick last Thursday night out in Chicago. And you know what, Steve? I'm on board with the pick. I am, because you know what? Now, who knows? I mean, obviously, this guy, like I said, in 3 years, we could determine that he's a bust, that he's a Tim Couch, or he's a Rick Meyer, or he's an Akili Smith, or a Cade McNown, like previous bust first-round picks. But nonetheless, I'm on board with it, Steve, and the reason being, I mean, if the organization thought, I mean, if they think that this guy can be a franchise quarterback, then I'm perfectly fine with giving up the picks they did to move up to two to get this kid. Because you know what? I mean, if he is a franchise quarterback, a guy that's going to play here like 10 years, like Donovan McNabb, win a lot of games, then I'm perfectly fine with it. You know, if obviously they felt that this guy can be that, that they feel that they project him to be a franchise type quarterback guy. And if that's the case, then giving up those picks means nothing to me, because you have your quarterback, and in this league, like, you have to have the quarterback to ultimately succeed and win a Super Bowl or multiple Super Bowls. And I mean, I'm on board with it. I mean, it's pretty clear they feel that this guy has all the tools. I mean, when you talk about a kid who's 6'5", 237 pounds, I mean, they feel he has the tools to be that guy, then, I mean, I'm perfectly on board with this.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. For me, you know, I went to a school that played FCS ball for a while, and, you know, that is boys playing against men when you talk about playing an FBS program. So I was very reluctant with that being the case. And then I looked at, you know, what is this guy's experience playing in? Because if you're playing FCS ball, I mean, you're not playing any big games ever. I'm not trying to be closed-minded about that. I mean, like, I, you know, enjoyed when my school had a football program that was FCS, because, you know, it was nice to have a football program. But, I mean, you're, there's no big games. There's no, you're not suiting up there against the best of the best. I looked at this guy's record against FBS. He has one win there against Iowa State, an Iowa State team that was horrible, but he did win that game. But there was nothing really about this guy that, you know, Grant, I never watched him play. But, you know, wasn't, and none of his stats really blow me away. To me, I mean, this just didn't seem like, I understand this guy getting drafted and, you know, but I just don't know that this was a true number two overall pick. I mean, to me, there's a lot of reach here. And, I don't like, you know, I don't like Sam Bradford. I don't know why they gave him another contract before this happened. You know, this guy's just going to make more and more money. $78 million, 78 touchdown passes. That's insane. But I just felt like this was a little bit of a reach. This is different than McNabb was, because McNabb was, you know, advertised to be pretty good, and he was. But I just don't know that this is a number two overall guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, like, time will tell. I mean, obviously, that's the easy answer for me to give, Steve. Time will definitely tell, but, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, analysts and such, I mean, they have this guy as number one on a lot of people's boards. So, I mean, again, like, I mean, you have to see how this plays out. I mean, I think the one thing I will say, I mean, I think Jared Goff, who went number one overall to L.A., I mean, I think Goff is more ready to play right now, but I mean, a lot of people think that Wentz will be the better player 5 years from now. So, and I guess that kind of connects why, I mean, you have Sam Bradford here, you have Chase Daniel here. So, I mean, obviously we'll see how the drama with Bradford unfolds, but nonetheless, I mean, you have two other guys here. So, I mean, you don't have to throw Wentz into the mix next year. I mean, he can sit down kind of like Aaron Rodgers did for a few years, you know, sit down and just kind of learn the game. Obviously, you get reps in preseason, but, I mean, you know, and then, I mean, you come to like a third year maybe, and then there's a situation where a third, fourth year, you're ready to go. So I think the plan is, at least right now, assuming Bradford is still here as your opening day starter, I mean, the plan, I think, is to have Wentz sit down for a year or two, and hopefully after that he should be hopefully good to go. But in terms of what you said at playing at that level under major college football, playing at the 1AA level, I mean, I don't think you can look too much into that. I mean, you look at guys like Joe Flacco from Delaware and Steve McNair from Alcorn State. I mean, I think it's safe to say, I mean, we would take their, I mean, if Wentz turns out to have similar careers to any one of those two guys, I think we'd sign those papers right now. So I don't think you can look too much into him playing at a lower level. I mean, clearly, obviously the speed of the game, is definitely quicker and faster at those bigger programs like Alabama and Clemson and things like that. But I mean, either way, there's still going to be a major jump to the NFL, regardless if you're coming from 1AA or 1A. So, I mean, either way, the speed of the game is going to be a huge jump for Wentz either way. So, I mean, I wouldn't read too much into it that this kid went to North Dakota State. I mean, I wouldn't hold that against him at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember from, you know, when my school was an FCS school, we played – Alabama, and we played Tennessee, and we played West Virginia, all of these schools, and you know, it's just, I remember watching our guys trying to tackle was his name Julio Jones, and it was a running back, then it was Mark Ingram, and it's just, those two guys were monsters among men. I mean, those were NFL ready players, and it was impossible for our guys to bring them down. It's just because they're too fast and they're too strong. And I mean, when, you know, yes, maybe Carson Wentz is the best player in FCS, but you know, when you're out there with a bunch of guys that are just, they're not even getting scholarships to some of these schools, I don't know. It's a real big reach to put so much. There was a lot of picks traded to get to this point. You know, a lot of things had to be sacrificed. A lot of money had to be sacrificed, like I said, with Sam Bradford. So I think there's too much risk here. As far as the rest of the draft went to this year, Zach, I mean, I just felt like I don't even know what this team needs and what it doesn't need. And, you know, I think because you have a different regime in here coaching-wise, you don't know what the – I mean, I think that this team has gone from a team where you had like a 30th-ranked defense. Now, the defense should actually be good because different coaching. But with that being said, I don't even know what the weaknesses or strengths of this team are enough to even know who they should have been drafting.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's tough to tell, I mean, about these guys, but, I mean, unlike Carson Wentz, to your point, they did pick from a lot of big-time programs, these other picks, when you talk about, like, Oregon, here we go again, Florida, LSU, Auburn, TCU, West Virginia, Oregon State. So, I mean, obviously they picked up a lot of guys from some big-time programs, but, I mean, you see Steve, two out of their first four picks, an offensive guard and an offensive tackle. So I think it's safe to say, I mean, they do want to – I think they really want to be deep on the offensive line, especially if you're going to be, down the road, you're investing a lot in Carson Wentz. So you want to protect him. You want to be deep at the offensive line position. They picked up a running back from West Virginia, Wendell Smallwood, actually a local kid out of Wilmington, Delaware. Was the Big 12 rushing leader last season. Did have some off the field issues, which was actually a trend of two or three guys that the Eagles drafted. So I guess maybe going in the opposite direction of the Chip Kelly era. Interesting side note, but nonetheless, I think a running back was needed. I mean, obviously DeMarco Murray's no longer on the roster. I mean, throw him in there with Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles. So I think clearly I think running back was a position that needed to be picked up in the draft. They used their fifth round pick, picking up Smallwood, looking at a few other picks here, a cornerback from Auburn. The last four picks actually were all defensive players, a cornerback from Auburn. Got this free safety Jalen Mills from LSU, a DN from Florida, inside linebacker from Oregon. So those last four picks, they went defensive heavy. So, again, it's tough to tell. You hope that most of these guys make the team, make that 53-man roster, But, yeah, I mean, I think the major things, I think it was safe to say that, I mean, they did want to add some help on that offensive line with two out of those first four picks being linemen.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that there were, you know, there were linemen that were available. And I thought you could have got a new a good lineman picking eighth. But, you know, like I said, I don't quite know. I mean, I think that you can never go, you know, building an offensive line, I think picking linebackers is always a you can never go wrong with that. I mean, that seems to be what New England always does. And, you know, that's, to me, is why they're successful every year. But, yeah, I got it. There's a lot of identity, I think, that this team needs to surface identity. This team needs an identity. And, you know, I think we'll end up seeing what that's going to be. But it's just too early to tell. You're right.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you see one of the best players in college football last year, Tyler Manikavage from Temple. I mean, he slipped all the way to the seventh round at 246. I know clearly I'm biased with this. I mean, I saw him all of last season for Temple. But the fact that this guy slipped to round seven, 246 overall, I mean, I really would have loved to – again, I know I'm biased with the guy, but I really would have loved to see the Eagles snatch him up. I mean, yeah, I know he's undersized at 6 foot. He's listed at 6 foot. But, I mean, this guy's just the football player. I know he didn't have the best test results at the combine, but, I mean, just watching him for 14 games last year, Steve – I mean, he's just a football player, and I think the Steelers got a steal in round seven, getting Manikavage 246 overall. Like, are you kidding me? Would have loved to seen the Eagles pick him up with one of their late round picks. He was just sitting there for the taking. I mean, obviously the Eagles weren't the only team to pass on him, but man, I gotta tell you, I mean, it's one of the best players in college football last year. Slipped that far, but I mean, hopefully, I mean, I'm sure he's going to have a huge chip on his shoulder, and I mean, I expect him to do some good things for the Steelers. I mean, he'll be here in September at the link with that team, assuming he makes the roster. But I mean, just a shame for him to slip that far. And as a side note, I guess, I mean, we'll go back to the Eagles in a minute. I mean, Temple also had two other guys taken. Matt Ioannidis, defensive tackle, went in round five to the Redskins. Obviously, as I said, Manikavage went in round seven to Pittsburgh. And Tavon Young was the highest player taken, cornerback, very good-looking cornerback, too, if I might add, went in the fourth round of the Ravens. So so three Northeast teams obviously did their scouting on Temple. So so good to see Temple get three guys actually drafted, because obviously we know they had one of the best years in program history last year. But I guess going back to the Eagles, Steve, I mean, what do you make of this whole Bradford situation? Obviously, apparently he's not going to be showing up for, like, OTAs and things like that. I mean, I kind of look at it both ways, Steve. I mean, I guess it is frustrating because he did think maybe he would have had a long-term future here with the Eagles, but then obviously the Eagles used their second overall pick on a quarterback. So obviously that, I mean, their plans are clearly for Carson Wentz, obviously, to succeed. So, I mean, I think you can be a little pissed off about it if you're Bradford, but, I mean, big picture here, I mean, you're paid to do a job, and I think you got to go out and do it. And I mean, honestly, I think you need to be professional about this, and indication so far is he not being that professional, like responding to if he, apparently reports have said that Eagles personnel has been trying to contact Bradford to, and really has gotten no response from him. But I mean, I think you just, at the end of the day, are you pissed? Yes. But I think you're getting paid to do a job, and you have to be professional. And I mean, you go back to a situation a few years back, Steve. I mean, the Cardinals bring in Kurt Warner, and they had this hotshot, high draft pick in Matt Leinart. And you know what? Kurt Warner, you know, said, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to go and play. And he leads that team to a Super Bowl appearance. So I think it's a very similar situation here. I mean, the Cardinals had that hotshot rookie in Matt Leinart, didn't end up doing much, and Kurt Warner comes in and does a fantastic job for that team, getting them to the Super Bowl against Pittsburgh. So I kind of equate it to this, and I think Bradford just needs to get over and just be a pro. You're getting paid a lot of money to be this team's starting quarterback for 2016.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I don't know. I mean, first of all, why does this guy keep getting money? I mean, he wasn't even good last year. I mean, he had some moments for sure, but, you know, I looked at that the Arizona game last year and the Washington game at the end of the year. I mean, that was embarrassing, those two games. And we could have made the playoffs if we won those. So, you know, I wasn't overall impressed enough with him and the opportunity that he did have here. And I just don't understand the money. This guy just has money thrown at him all the time. You know, what has he done in his career to earn what's going to end up being $110 million? I don't know. But the other thing is, too, I mean, listen, you know, I've been in business now for 8 years, and you have no control over competition. That's part of it. You have to go and put your best effort forward at all times to survive, or, you know, you're going to lose to a competitor. What do you expect? It's just what's going to happen. I mean, that's just life. Somebody else is also going to compete for the same opportunity. You know, what you said there about Kurt Warner is terrific. I mean, that's a great example of that. And I just think that, you know, competition is supposed to bring out the best of people. And if you're a guy like Sam Bradford and you're not convinced that you can beat out the rookie from North Dakota State, then maybe you shouldn't be here anyway.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting story to follow. I mean, obviously, a lot of talk about it ever since the Wentz pick was official last Thursday night at the draft. So a lot of talk about Sam Bradford even more so than Wentz. So it's going to be an interesting story to follow. But, yeah, I mean, clearly, I mean, you got to be a little upset. I mean, if I was in Sam's shoes, yeah, I certainly would be upset, you know, because obviously it's basically saying to me that the organization doesn't think I'm the long-term answer here. But you know what? I mean, they paid you a lot of money for the next 2 years. So with that being said, prove them wrong. You know, go out, be a professional, go out there and show that you can win more than 7 games in a year and you can stay healthy. And you know what? I mean, win a division next year and maybe make things complicated, you know, just be a professional and play your game. And maybe that will bring out the best in you and you have a huge chip on your shoulder. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, this guy has made a lot of money thus far in his career. He's going to be making more money the next couple of years as well. So, I mean, you're getting paid to do a job, and I'll do a job.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, I guess we'll talk a little bit baseball. You know, this was kind of surprising. You said that the team would probably be pretty good. But, you know, this is a bit of a surprise, I think, that, you know, they've started this strong. For first 25 games, this is a good record to have. And, you know, you're seeing some I mean, I don't know how on board I am with, you know, having your pitcher bat eighth, which we keep seeing every single night with this team. But I just kind of like the way that this guy coaches, McCannon. I notice with pitching changes, a lot of time he doesn't go by matchups, which is normally what you do. It seems like he kind of goes by on a feel there, who he thinks is the right pitcher at the right time, not, you know, putting out, you know, the righty to face the lefty and vice versa. So, I just kind of like the way this team is being coached right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I did, when we started the show, the Phillies were winning tonight. It looks like they lost, looking at the score from this evening. It looks like they lost a tough one tonight, 5-4. Well, it's a shame because they're up 4-3 and 3-0 in this game. So I'll have to check out the highlights when we get off the air, because the game obviously ended as we were on here. But, I mean, nonetheless, I mean, just big picture here. I mean, you look at this team, they're 16-12 right now. But, I mean, you talk about McKen. I mean, I think this guy, he's just a baseball guy. He's a player's manager. I mean, he's been a lifer in the game. I mean, I'm sure there's not a lot of things he hasn't seen yet. I mean, been a bench coach for several years. I mean, I think he's almost – I mean, I know it's still early, and I'm sure this team – I mean, maybe this team will still finish well under 500. Who knows? But, I mean, as of right now, this team's 16-12. And they're playing good baseball. I mean, they really are. I mean, I know the hitting hasn't been tremendous, especially from the outfielders, but I mean, I think Pete's the perfect guy for this young squad that they got, and the pitching's been phenomenal. I mean, it really has, and I told multiple people this. I didn't think they were going to be as bad as people thought they would be. I based that on Steve, like, I just thought on paper their starting rotation going into this year was so much better than last year. I mean, you don't have David Buchanan. You don't have Aaron Harangi. You don't have Jerome Williams. I think significant improvements on paper when, I mean, you talk about guys like Hallickson and Nola going into his second season, and this Velasquez has been a stud for the most part this year. Had a 16K game a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, that's really what I based it off of. And their starting rotation has been phenomenal. And the back end of the bullpen has been pretty solid as well. I mean, yeah, I know they're not hitting. Maybe they'll start hitting as the weather gets a little warmer. But, I mean, you look at the bullpen and you look at the starting rotation. I mean, really carried this team to, 16 wins. And it's only May 4th right now.
Definitely. I agree with just that, like, it's a nice formula that they have going here. They're doing the right things with the right people, and you gotta be happy about that. You know, if this team was in a different division, you know, you'd be looking at, I mean, potentially if they were out in the West, you'd be looking at first place right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. It looks like they are in a pretty solid division. I mean, obviously Washington's, 11 games over 500. I mean, the Mets are 8 games over 500. And, I mean, Florida's even over 500, although we're a little ahead of them. I mean, the Braves are pretty awful. But, I mean, shaping up, that's going to be a pretty good division. I mean, you're at least going to have probably – I mean, and granted, it's still early, but I think it's safe to say you'll probably have at least one wild card team from this division, probably. So, I mean, the division's shaping up well, but, I mean, they're playing well. I mean, they played well, I mean, excluding the one game the other night. I mean, they played the Cardinals pretty tight. I mean, they swept Washington recently. They're just playing good ball. I mean, I don't know how long this is going to last. Hopefully we keep saying that in June and July and August, and then who knows, then we get to September and we're in a pennant race. But, I mean, they're playing good ball. Ryan Howard's been hitting some big home runs too, which is a great sign. Herrera's hitting over 300. It's just a lot, some really good positives so far. It really is. You look at the back end of the bullpen. You got Neris has like a 1 ERA. Gomez has been really solid from the closer position. You look at Vince Velasquez with a 1.44 ERA. That Giles trade's looking better and better every day. It's a fun story. I don't know how it's going to last, but I'd enjoy it for however long it lasts. But I do think they definitely have a bright future. You know, the fact that they do have the ability to spend money, and I mean, they have the number one pick coming up in the draft. I think a lot to look forward to. I mean, they really flipped the script, it seems, pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, this team, you know, you didn't expect them to be in a situation this year. I mean, they can win over 80 games, and that could really mean something, you know, going forward. And, last year, you know, the Iron Pigs were, you know, first place in the in AAA, so you know, there is a bright future going forward here. This is pretty good stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, you got guys like J.P. Crawford and Nick Williams and some other guys in the wings as well who we saw in spring training in Clearwater. I really think, and I'm not trying to be a homer or anything, but I mean, I think there is a lot of things to look forward to. You got the number one pick. I mean, possibly take the 6'7" lefty from the University of Florida, A.J. Puck. He's another guy that could probably, it looks like there's two or three really good starting pitchers in the draft in June. You're definitely going to get one of them with that first pick. And, I mean, who knows? I mean, top prospects, I mean, they could maybe go through the system pretty quickly, and you might see them maybe in possibly September of 2017. So lots to look forward to. I mean, with the minor league teams, and then also, I mean, the big league team is playing pretty well. And you know what? I mean, they have the money to spend where, you know, I mean, if you need to pick someone up, they have the ability to pick someone up. I mean, and who knows? If the trade deadline comes, the Phillies might be buyers. I mean, to pick up maybe another outfielder or pick up another starting pitcher because Morton's out for the year. So it's, I guess from a lot of people's perspective, this was very unexpected, but my whole thing was I didn't think they were going to be doing this well through the first few weeks of the season, but I just didn't think they were going to be as bad as people really thought they would be.
Yeah, that's the key thing there. And I think that, you know, when I keep going back to how I like how this team's being managed, you know, I think that, like, when the season started, we were talking so much about, like, how, you know, devastating it is to have Ryan Howard on this team because he's just such a liability at this point. But, you know, right now, despite the fact that, yeah, you know, he still has that horrible batting average, they're making Ryan Howard work right now, and it's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it should be interesting. Again, don't know how long this is going to last, but, I mean, hopefully we keep saying that over the next 5 months, and then you find yourself in a pennant race. So, and with that extra wild card spot, you never know. Maybe 85 wins gets it done. I mean, hopefully it's an interesting summer, because I think this is something, like, really something that I think this city really could embrace, you know, because the last few years, I mean, we were just used to, you know, winning the division every year and having those playoff games in October, and kind of missed that the last few years. So hopefully we can, I mean, not necessarily say make the playoffs this year, but kind of start seeing some light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, that'll wrap things up here. We'll be back at this soon. And, yeah, it's great stuff tonight.
Yeah, take it easy, buddy.
All right.